Is there a chance your data could fall into the wrong hands? And if so, what could they do with it? Well, I found out if your DNA reaches the right hands, it can also do a whole lot of good, as scientists can use it for research. Here's Head of Society and Ethics Research at the Wellcome Genome Campus in Cambridge, Anna Middleton.
So I was exploring the role of genomics in big data. So basically the two go hand in hand. So to work out what an individual DNA sequence means for someone, you need to be able to compare it to data sets that have been very kindly donated by other people, and their DNA is explored and analysed, and then you can make comparisons between the two, and that's the way that you can work out whether the DNA in the person that you're looking at is likely to be predictive of disease or not. So these large data sets need to exist from people all around the world, different ethnicities, different ages, some well people, some ill people, and that's basically how you're going to work out what to do with genomics, is have these data sets that you can compare to. Genomics is now sweeping across healthcare settings, so more people are having genomic tests than ever before, and also more people are concerned about future health. And if you've got a well person who's worried about future health, you don't know how those genes are going to play out in that individual, so you need to see how they've played out in other people first.
What are some of the concerns people have when they're confronted with donating their DNA to a data set like this?
Well, many people aren't aware that these data sets are needed. And also many people might not be cognizant that their data is already in data sets. So if, for example, they've ever donated blood, then their DNA from that blood may actually be used in many large genomic studies already, and they may not actually be aware that their data is being used in that way. And most of this data, the vast majority of this data, is completely anonymous, so it doesn't have personally identifying information attached to it. And so when you make it anonymous, it's incredibly useful, and it's being used all around the world at the moment. So what are some of the ethical issues? Well, I suppose as a person interested in social science and ethics, I would argue that your DNA, can it ever be truly anonymous? You know, it's your most personal profile, and it tells you about your past, present, and future health. And if you've got something very unusual or interesting in there, you might be the only person in the world with it. So actually, theoretically, you could be identified from it. So there's a question mark there about whether DNA information can ever be truly anonymous. And one of the things that I'm interested in is, are people interested in sharing their information? Are they worried about being identified from it? What harms do they perceive could happen if their name and address is attached to this code? And if so, what harms might there be? And often people will say things like, I'm worried about insurance discrimination, I'm worried about being stigmatized in some way. But also, people have also said funny things like, I'm worried I might be cloned, I'm worried that my DNA could be planted at the scene of a crime. And so people have all these kind of, it often gets them to think about conspiracy theories as well, which also interests me.
Well, let's leave the cloning worry aside. I mean, that does keep me up at night. But what about insurance? What about the fact that at some point maybe the insurance companies could say, hey, you've got a gene for this, we're going to raise your premiums?
Yeah. So the question about insurance always comes up when we talk about genetics. And actually in the UK, we have a moratorium which protects us. So that means that insurers are not allowed to ask us if we've had a genetic test, and they're not allowed to use weighting of policies on the basis of a genetic test, apart from in some very exceptional circumstances. They are allowed to weight a policy according to your family history, but if you have a genetic test and then that negates your family history because it puts you in the clear, then you can tell them, and then they can take off that weighting. So in a way, we shouldn't be discriminated against by insurers. And I know there's big discussions about making this more permanently into legislation so that we can really relax and know that we are protected and we're safe and we're not going to be discriminated against. But the other thing that crosses my mind is that all of us have something in our DNA that will predispose us to some disease in the future. And, you know, none of us get away scot-free. So particularly when you're starting to think about looking at 20,000 or so genes in one go. So I personally feel that if insurers do discriminate on the basis of genetics, then they'll have nobody to insure because we all have something in there.
And what about advertising? Already on social media, I get plenty of targeted adverts, and I usually know what's sort of given them that idea that I'll like a certain thing. What about in the future? I mean, we still don't know everything we do know about the gene, and there might be a gene that means you're more likely to like a certain product or something like that. And then could you be vulnerable to sort of targeted advertising?
Yeah, and I think, you know, until we actually ask people what are they concerned about and they start to imagine what the possible scenarios are, we don't really know what people are worried about. But certainly being targeted for inappropriate marketing has popped up in the research that we've done. And that does make me think that we need to be clamping down on the ways that people can, you know, misuse our data. And that's something I know the Department of Health are very interested in, and it may well be that we can get protection in legislation against that sort of thing. But being targeted for inappropriate marketing, my goodness, that happens to us every day, doesn't it? And we don't really want exposure to DNA information to add to that.
Give me an example of the possible good that can come from this big data with genomics. What kind of thing could it, how could it improve someone's life?
The steps forward in the genomic world are really looking at improving human health. You know, what is it that's underpinning disease, and what's the interaction between genetics and environment that's making people unwell or is protecting people? So we need to enable genomic research to happen on a massive scale in order to be able to really unpick what's going on in our genes. And we have 20,000 genes, and we don't know what the vast majority of them do, and we also don't know what the DNA between the genes is really doing. So there's loads more knowledge that we need to gather, and the way to do that quickly is using large data sets. So those data sets can be used in many different settings to help understand disease in an individual, to help understand population variation, answer non-profit research questions, and also to answer for-profit research questions like, you know, how are these medicines working in particular groups of people? So we need all of these different data sets to be available to lots of different type of researchers so that we can really, you know, improve human health.
And what about those, there's a lot of home testing kits. It's sort of a bit of a fad at the moment. Where does that data go?
So the direct-to-consumer online testing, the business model for many of these companies is to sell your data to other companies. That's how they make their money. It's not from actually providing the testing to you. It's selling your data on.
Anna Middleton.